It is almost Easter, which means these guys show up. How many people here would say, I love Peeps? Put your hands down. You're lying. No one likes Peeps. Oh, man. So it was a few years back, Shalia and I were leading this Easter egg hunt in a state down south, and someone approached us, and they said, hey, how would you like to give away free Peeps at your Easter egg hunt event? And we're like, yes, we want to give away. I mean, prizes that you don't have to pay for? Of course, count us in. They said, we'll deliver them the day before your event. And I'm like, great, I don't really have to store them. This is awesome. And the day before the event, do you know what showed up at our church? A semi-trailer loaded top to bottom with pallets of Peeps. What? Like, we went, started passing out Peeps to every kid who came. Like, here's a package. Here's 10 packages. Here's a case of Peeps. We tried to convince parents to take pallets of Peeps. And it seemed like the more Peeps we gave away, the more they grew in the trailer. We had Peeps everywhere. We were stuck with Peeps for months. And the thing is, most normal people don't eat Peeps. Why? Because they're fake food. It's fake food. I mean, I don't care how cute these little bunnies are. I don't care how sweet they look. I don't care how free they are. They're just not real. Now here I'm waving around this package of Peeps and wondering who could I toss this package and say, hey, I want this. Wow, I see someone way back there who wants it. I'm going to toss it. I don't know if it's going to make it, but we'll try. It's a Frisbee. Oh, it almost made it. I'm glad I didn't kill anyone in that. Okay. That would be bad because then that would just add to the Peep story. Now, raise your hand if you're glad someone else took those Peeps and I didn't force you to take them. Yes, there's the real people out. Do you know what? When, as people, we know when things are real or fake. We try to figure out when things are real and fake. And you know what's really, you know, those of you who just raised your hand, you just showed me that you're a real person. And you know what? We like real people, but you know who we don't like? Fake people. I mean, a fake person is someone who pretends they're your friend. They pretend like they're interested in your life. They pretend like they care. I mean, they present like they care. And then when push comes to shove, they're not there. And it turns out they don't really care. And they're just fake. And the more fake people we encounter in our life, that their care is fake, the more walls we build up to protect ourselves. We're cynical. We're like, you say you want to help? Yeah, right. You say you care? And then we hear a phrase like, hey, Jesus cares for you. And we apply the same thinking towards Jesus. And we're like, hey, I'm not so sure my viewpoint of God allows me to think of like your care is real. I think it might be fake. You know, sometimes we think about God and we think he's just up there watching what's happening and says, man, that stinks for you guys. And that God's not involved in our life. You know, or we can have a viewpoint of God where God is actually interested in our lives and he actually does care. And that's what we're going to explore here today, because we're looking to ask and to answer this question. Does Jesus care? Is his care for us real or is it fake? Now, if you came today looking for hope, for peace, for purpose, for focus to your life, then I've got some good news for you. There is hope found in Jesus. And today, at the end of this message, we're going to give you the opportunity to receive that hope. I'd like for you to grab your phones and pull up the Bible app. We're turning today to John chapter 4. We're reading out of the New Living Translation, and I encourage you that even though the words are going to be up on the screen behind me in just a minute of everything I'm about to read, I want you to look this up for yourself, because there's going to be homework related to this chapter. And so you're going to have to know where it is on your phone in order to find it later. But let me tell you what's happening right now around John chapter 4. Jesus has started his ministry. He's got 12 guys known as disciples that are following around after him. They're traveling from spot to spot, and Jesus is preaching. He's doing miracles. People are following. It's great. And now he's decided, I'm going to leave Judea, and I'm going to go to Galilee. Galilee was where most of them were from. It's like, we're going to travel that way. And so they pulled out the Siri GPS. They asked for a route, and it turns out the fastest route was an undesirable route. That's where we pick it up today. John chapter four, starting with verse number 3. Here's what it says. It says, so he left, meaning Jesus, left Judea and returned to Galilee. He had to go through Samaria on the way. Eventually, he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar, near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, who was tired from the long walk, he sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, please, give me a drink. He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy food. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, you are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink? And Jesus replied, if you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me, and I would give you living water. But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket, she said, and this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? Let's pray. God, I pray that as we unpack your word for us today, that you would speak to us, that you would challenge us, and God, that we would see whether or not your care for us is real or fake. Challenge us, let us choose to change. We love you, God. In Jesus' name, we all said, amen. It was just yesterday that I had just my youngest son with me, and we were traveling to church, and I needed him to bring a box for me. I said, Radley, I got this big old box, and I need you to take it to the church for me. And so, okay, so he carries the box, and he's 15. He likes showing off that he's big and strong now, right? So he's carrying the big old box, and he's coming up to the front of the truck, and he proceeds to climb into the passenger seat of my truck with this huge box on his lap. I look at him, and I'm like, are you seriously planning to ride in my truck with a big box on your lap in the front seat? And he's like, yeah, of course. Duh, Dad. And I just look, and I'm kind of scratching my head, and I begin to explain to him. I said, well, Radley, because you weigh over 50 pounds and you sat in that chair, you just armed our airbag system. If Dad happens to get into a front end or rear end wreck on the half mile between our house and the church, your face might look a little different when the airbag takes that box and goes boom. Now, to which Radley replied, he's like, Dad, stop. Dad, like, whatever. I mean, he's just like, Daddy, stop. And here's the thing, I realized that in this moment, he wasn't taking me seriously. Now, mind you, I sounded kind of sarcastic. But deep down, I really did care that my son didn't have a box thrown into his face, because there's not designed to be a box between the airbag and his face, if that were to happen. And it took me a bit to try to convince him that my care for him was real and not fake. He was thinking, Daddy. Thinking I was just pulling his chain, just being mean. But I really did care, but sometimes it's hard to tell if someone's care is real or if it's fake. This story with Jesus speaking to a woman beside a well is a well-known story. Pun intended. Well-known story. And it's something that we may have, you may have heard before, you may have studied before, you may have read it before, you may have heard someone preach about it before, or maybe you don't know anything about it, but just know it's well-known, the story of the woman at the well. And it's easy to just read this story and think we know what it means. But if we're not careful, we can actually miss something about this encounter, this supernatural encounter, and just how impactful it actually was. You see, what we are reading here is not a normal situation for this time. And in order to come to that conclusion, we need to dig back into what we just read and start looking for clues. Clues about what is going on. You see, we've been talking about how do you find out what the Bible really means. Sometimes we read the Bible, we're like, why is that verse in there? This doesn't make sense. And so we don't want to just tell you what the Bible means. We want to help give you some skills about how to figure out for yourself. And we say that the first rule of figuring out what the Bible means or what a passage means is you don't ever pull a scripture out of context. That you got to read what's in front of it. You got to read what's behind it. See what the whole thought is or what's happening or what's going on. But the second thing that you do when you're trying to figure out what the Bible is, you start looking for clues and you recognize who was it written to, who was it written about, who were the main characters, what was going on at that time. And so we're looking for clues like that in this passage. And see, in this passage, one of the first things it mentions is location. Where are they? Well, they're in Samaria, and they are at a village called Sychar, and this is not a normal place that Jesus or his disciples would want to stop. This is not a normal route they would want to take to get from Judea to Galilee. Like, they're trying to go on the fastest route to get back home, but it takes them on an undesirable place. It takes them to a place they don't really want to be. And we might scratch our heads and say, I don't understand. Because for us living in the 21st century, we look at all the Bible names and we're like, we don't know one town from the next town. We don't know what's going on from this country to this country. We don't understand. And see, that brings us up to the next part of this, is that why was this location important? And it had to do with the race of the people living there, the Samaritans. Jews and Samaritans, they did not get along. And the major reason why they did not get along, why they didn't like each other, was because Samaritans were half Jewish, half Gentile. And with that, it just reminded them that, hey, they're different and we don't get along. And so they would refuse to talk. They would refuse to be in the same room. They would refuse to go to where they're at. They would refuse to interact with each other. It's just not something they did. So it was a big deal that Jesus, as a Jew, with his disciples, as Jews, not only traveled through Samaria, but they stopped at a village. And they didn't just stop. They went in to interact with people to get some food. They were going to spend some money. This was a big deal. You don't pick to go do this at this time. It's kind of like this idea of, if I want to fly anywhere out of Wisconsin and I got to go to the big airport, I unfortunately have to go to Illinois. I mean, Illinois. Do they even know how to drive? I mean, it's the ugliest state to drive in ever, and don't get me started about Chicago. And some of you are like, but Pastor, I'm from Illinois. Bless your heart. Yes, there's Bears fans and all, and maybe they have a chance if they don't blow it with the number one draft pick coming up this next month. But we tend to not like them, but this was even worse. Like we're okay with, we'll go on their toll roads and pay their money on their awful roads. But I was giving it. Now, if you're from Illinois, I'm sorry. Not really. No, they didn't do this. This wasn't normal at this time for Jews to go to Samaria. This was not planned. This is not something. So, like, they're, like, breaking, like, all their internal rules. But there's some more clues of what's happening here. See, the next part is that it all centered around a well. And wells were like the life-giving spot for a whole village or a community, because the water in the well would be used for everything. It'd be used for cleaning and cooking and washing things and providing for the animals. The well was the life-giving spot for a community. And it was important that it was there. You see, at that time, there was no internal plumbing. And so it was something that had to be done on every day, that someone from the household would have to go to the well, pull up buckets of water from the well, take it to their home, so they could have water in their homes. And it was at the time that Jesus was at this well that a lady shows up to do it, that she comes to draw water for her house because her house needs water, her animals, her livestock needs water. She's coming to do the daily chore at the time that Jesus is there. And the crazy thing is that Jesus actually says words out loud to her and actually addresses her. Will you give me a drink? See, not only was this woman Samaritan, and Jews don't talk to Samaritans, but men don't talk to women. Like, this is what happened this time. You just don't talk to women, especially women who are considered to be questionable. And you're like, but Pastor, I just read the same part of the Bible that you just read, and I didn't get the part where it said that she was questionable. Well, let me explain that it does say, because it talks about the time of day that they were there. Now, I just mentioned that at the well, it was the center hub of all life for a community at this time. It was like it was Facebook and Instagram for the community, that every morning all the women of the community got together and they talked and they did the chores together, and this was the social life. And if anyone was either kicked out of the social community or they wanted to avoid the social community, guess when you drew water? Not at the coolest part of the day when everyone was there doing the chores. You did it at the hottest part of the day. And when is the hottest part of the day? Noon. This is the time that Jesus was there. This lady who was coming to the well wanted to avoid all the other ladies, or all the other ladies wanted to avoid her. You see, it turns out she does have a reputation. She does have a past. She does feel shame. She just wants to avoid reminding that every day she goes to the well, it's a reminder of her past. You see, but Jesus stops at this well, in this village, in this country, to talk to this lady. He talks to her. He asks for water, and then he offers her living water. You see, Jesus cared to meet this woman and provide her with what she really needed. In verse 10, it says, "If you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, then you would ask me and I would give you living water." Well, she didn't know what to do with this statement. She's like scratching her head. She's like, is this real or is this fake? I mean, he's got some special water, or he's going to do the water for me. He doesn't even have a bucket or a rope. This is a deep well. She's all wrestling with this in her mind. How is he getting this living water? And then Jesus goes on to tell her that, hey, if you drink water from this well, if you drink what's in there, you're going to have to keep coming back and back. You're going to be thirsty again every day. You're going to have to keep on coming to this well. But if you drink the water that I give, you will never thirst again. Now, at the root level, this woman, she was intrigued at the possibility of never having to come back to the well. Because if she didn't ever have to come back to the well, she would never have to be reminded that she's an outcast in her community. She would never have to be reminded about all the wrong that she has ever done. She would never have to be reminded about the shame that she felt. She'd never have to be reminded that she has no friends, that there's no one in her life that cares about her and her situation. She's thinking, wow, if I could just have this water, then I don't have to go to this well anymore. And give me this magic water you're talking about. Now, did Jesus really care about her? I mean, did he already know everything about her? Did he already know everything about her and care to meet her where she was at, knowing she was going to show up at noontime? Did he already arrange to say, hey, disciples, go get some food, to where he was there alone to have this conversation? Did he care that much? Did he really care? Or was it fake? You see, it's hard sometimes to know if something is real or if it's fake. And I'm going to need somebody's help from the audience to come up on stage to help me discover if something is real or fake. You're going to have to drink something to figure this out. And I'm looking for a volunteer who would like to come up and try something. Someone who's thirsty. Anybody out there thirsty would like to get a drink here up on stage? And everyone's trying not to make eye contact with me right now. Like. I'm looking around and I'm trying to see who's going to do it. I might just have to pick somebody for, Andrew, are you being volunteered for this? Is that why? Yes. Come on up. Let's give a hand for Andrew and his daughter as they come up here. Oh yeah. Come on up here. Oh, fun. How are you? Good. You want your daddy to do this? Oh yeah. Okay, this is going to be kind of crazy. See, here's what we got. We got a special box here. And in this box, we have 3 2-liters of pop. Now, one of them's real, and the other two are fake, off-brand. And what we're going to provide to you is a straw that you're going to drink out of each one to taste them and try to determine which of them is the real one, which when you're done and decide, you'll place it over the hole, and which of them are the fake ones. Okay. Now, you don't know what's in here. I hope you're not allergic to what's in here. I hope he doesn't die now. But it would help if we knew, right? So let's take a look. Oh, it looks like today for this service, Andrew, we're dealing with Orange Crush. Orange Crush is the real drink, but we also have two drinks in here that are not Orange Crush, and you need to taste and figure out which ones. Now, you can take as many drinks as you want. You can just, I mean, I'm looking. We can all see this, and no, there's no mayonnaise involved. It really is orange drinks. They're all orange pops, but one of them is the real thing, and two of them are the fake thing. We promise you won't die, I don't think, unless you're allergic to fake orange, you know. So go ahead and taste. Take as much time as you need. You can keep on tasting, and you can keep on going back and tasting. You know, I don't really care if you just stay up here the rest of the time. Just keep on drinking up here. I mean, if you're thirsty, just keep on drinking. Well, whatever one you think it is, you're going to put the 10th card on top of if you think which one's the real one and which one's the fake one. If you got to taste it again just to see, are you locking in your votes here? Okay. Andrew believes, after tasting and seeing, that he believes this one's the real one, this one's the fake one, and this one's the fake one. You want to come around here and see if you got it right? Oh, he's going to go around that way. Let's see. Andrew, I wish I could give you a prize, but I can't because this one's the real one, and you picked, like, the worst one, the Kroger brand one, as the real one. Let's give a hand for Andrew and Olivia for tasting and seeing which one's real or fake. Awesome. Now, Andrew wouldn't have been able to figure out which one was real or fake unless he actually tried it, unless he actually did something. I mean, because he could have sat back here and just kind of wondered and guessed, right? Saying, I don't know which one's real or fake. Maybe that one is, maybe that one is, maybe that one is. I don't know. But in order to figure out, he had to go in. He had to drink. He had to try it. He had to do something in order to figure out if it's real or fake. In a similar way, when we're wondering, is God real or fake, we actually have to take a step forward. We have to actually do something to see, is he really that good? Does he really care? As a matter of fact, in Psalms chapter 34, verse 8, it says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And so if you're wondering if Jesus really cares, you have to go in. You have to see. You have to ask. You have to seek. You have to pray. And then you find out, is Jesus' care, is it real? Now, I mentioned that I wanted you to look up John chapter 4 because it's homework, and guess what their homework is to read the whole story. Just don't go off of what I said the story is. Read the whole thing, not now, later. Homework means do it at home, right? But read the whole story for yourself. You see, the Samaritan woman at the well that day discovered that Jesus did care about her, that he went through all sorts of things that shouldn't normally happen just to be there because he cared about a situation. And not just for her physical need, because she's like, oh, I have to get water. He cared about her spiritually. He cared about her holistically. You see, in the same way that Jesus cared for this woman in order to meet with her and talk with her, he cares about you. He knows what you've done. He knows your shame. He knows the torment. He knows your pain. And in spite of all that, he still cares. But do you believe that he cares? Well, if you do, then you might want to make this next statement a statement you claim as your own. It's found in the pink box on your notes, and it says that I understand that Jesus really cares about me. You see, after her encounter with Jesus, this woman began sharing her story. Here's what she said. Here's what happened. In verse 28, it says that the woman left her water jar beside the well and ran back to the village telling everyone, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah? You see, our stories are the proof that God is real and that he cares. And that day, her story, she went in and told everyone about Jesus. They asked Jesus to stay for a few days, and that village was changed because Jesus cared and she shared the story. Today, I'm going to share a story of a friend that's part of this family. His name is Jay. And Jay is someone who struggled with something that was hard to explain, a mental disorder that controlled his life. And even after finding Jesus, he found he still struggled with this. And he came to a point where he wondered, is Jesus, does he even care that this is happening? See, today Jay is sharing his story. And we're going to watch it and see, is Jesus' care real or is it fake? Let's take a look at Jay's story.
Hi, my name's Jay, and this is my story. When I was 6 or 7 years old, I had some strange habits that I would do, and my parents called them quirky habits. I would take off my shoes and line them up so they were facing a certain angle, and I would lay the shoelaces out in front of the shoes so that they were at an angle. I would take everything out of my pockets, lay it on the dresser, all at the same angle, and I did habits like that for years. I mean, it went into my teens, into my 20s. Things increased through that I was doing these different habits, and I finally went and sought help. When I went to that see a psychologist, they told me I had obsessive compulsive disorder, or OCD. And for me, it was a challenge because it started affecting my work life, getting to work on time and taking my kids to daycare, because I would have these intrusive thoughts, negative thoughts, that if I was driving and I drove over a crack or a bump and had this thought, I would have to turn around and drive over that spot again, or I couldn't get this thought to go away. So this went on and on like this for a long time, and it was to the point where I remember one night being out and struggling with the thought that I'm not going to do these habits tonight because I'm tired, I want to go to bed. Well, at this time I was constantly thinking if I didn't do these things, my grandmother would die. So I went to bed that night refusing to do these habits, and my mom woke me up in the morning and told me my grandmother had passed away. I thought for 2 years solid that that was my fault, that my grandmother died, because I wasn't doing the things I was supposed to do. That only added fuel to the fire of continuing to do these habits. And it was, I know, as this all continued on, also during that time, I had finally given my life over to Christ and made Him the leader of my life and take charge for me. And I remember that very well. It was on Palm Sunday, and I thought, you know, everything would be great now, and everything's fine. But it wasn't fine. I still continued to do these habits. Well, now I felt shame because, you know, I have Jesus. Why would I still do this? Why do I still do these things? And I went to the psychologist. I tried medications. I tried doing everything to help myself get over this. Well, it was finally to the point where I couldn't take it anymore. One day driving to work, and I pulled my car over, and I was thinking, does Jesus really care about me? Does He care about this situation? And I cried out to Him. I said, I know that You can take this from me, because if this continues, this is not a life I want. I don't want to live. And as I was praying that prayer, I felt come over me as if I could almost audibly hear the words from God saying, Jay, I'm taking this from you as you're praying this prayer out to me. I mean, it was that overwhelming sense that I felt that this is done. You don't need to worry about this anymore. And it was amazing. And it was done. And I didn't have to do any of that again. So when somebody would ask me, is this real or is this fake? I can tell you 100% real. I know where I was my whole life, and I know what was just taken away from me. And Jesus did that for me. And I know He can do it for you. And you just need to have the faith and believe and pray.
That's Jay's story. And We're so proud that he agreed to allow us to film it, but he's actually in the room here today. Let's show our appreciation for Jay and the story of God changing his life. He suffered for over 30 years with this, even after knowing Jesus, and yet in a moment, Jesus cared enough to say, you don't have this anymore. That this will not be a part of your life. And it kind of sounds like if you watch the video, like it just happened last week. Let me tell you, it's been 15 years and he has not had anything. And that's amazing. That's only through the power of God. And you can't tell Jay that God's not real. You can't tell Jay that God doesn't care about what's happening in your life, because he's proof. He experienced it. He knows firsthand that not only does Jesus care, he can do something about it. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, it says, give all your worries and your cares to God because he cares about you. God cared about that woman at the well. God cared about Jay, and God cares about you. So we've been asking this question, does Jesus care? Well, the answer is yes. Jay's story is proof that it's real. This woman's story is proof that it's real. Jesus cared for them and he cares for you. But you got to do something. You got to lean in. You got to ask. You got to trust. You got to believe. You got to taste and see that God is good. We're going to invite you to bow your heads, to close your eyes as we take this next few moments to talk to God. God, we thank you that you're not a God who's just looking down from heaven, leaving us to our own demise, to our own fates, but you are involved in our lives. You know about us. You know everything. You care, and you're there. And we thank you for that. God, we question quite a bit, is your care for us, is it real or is it fake? But God, we just heard a few stories about how it was real. And God, we ask that their stories would become our stories, that we would trust you, that we would look to you and say, God, we need to know that you care about this or that. Whatever is in our past, whatever is going on in our lives, whatever it is, knowing that you know about it, and yet you still love us. You still care about us. So help us, God, to look to you as our source. As we look to you, when we feel like we can't talk to anyone else, when we feel like this is all anyone sees when they look at me, God, knowing that you know it and you still love us, blows our mind. So God, help us to trust you and understand that you do care and that you are there. Thank you, God, in Jesus' name. And while our heads are still bowed, our eyes still closed, I'm reminded that just a few moments ago, we said that if you came today looking for hope, that hope is found in Jesus, and we give you the opportunity at the end to receive that hope, and here we are. You may be wondering today, does God care about me? You may be wondering, why am I even here today? I don't even know how I got here. Maybe you're watching online. You're like, I don't even know how I got to this point. But let me tell you, God cares so much. Let me say, how do you know? Well, you see, the fact that we're human beings means that we're bent towards doing wrong. We have sin in our lives. The Bible says all of us have sinned. We all fall short of God's standard. And the penalty of our sin is that we are destined to spend eternity apart from God in hell. You may say, wait, if God's so loving and if he cares so much, why would he send people to hell? You see, it's what we deserve, and yet that's not what God leaves us to. Now let me tell you just how much God loves you and me and how much he cares. He cared so much, it says in John chapter 3, that God sent his son to pay the price for our sin, to make a way when there was no way, so that we could be saved. Saved from what? Saved from an eternal destination apart from him. You see, that's how much he cared. The Bible says he cared so much that before we were even born, Jesus died for us. for our sins, for yours, for mine. That's the act of a loving, caring God. And so because Jesus has done that, then God has made a way for you to be forgiven, to be set free, to be a part of his family, to get to know that you're going to go to heaven, to live life on this earth with purpose and mission, with focus. You say, but Pastor, how do I get what you're talking about? You see, it's ready for you. It's already been done. That's why we celebrate Easter, yet it's like a present with a tag that has your name, but it's not yours till you open it. In the same way, the Bible says, in order to receive what God has for us, the salvation, we've got to have a conversation with him. We call it prayer. In this conversation, we've got to talk to God and recognize that our sin makes us unworthy. It's appropriate to tell God we're sorry. We got to believe that he does love us, that he does care, and that he did send his son Jesus, who paid the price for us with his life. But finally, we've got to go all in. We got to say yes to God and say, God, I'll give you all of me. I'm making you the leader or the boss of my life. You're in charge. I'm a follower. And that's where everything changes. You are not meant to follow Jesus alone. You're meant to do it with a family. And that's why there's a second step to this, where we get water baptized so that we can show everybody who's watching, hey, I prayed that prayer. God forgave me. I'm a part of his family now. But right now, we're going to focus on that first part, that prayer. And I want to help you with this. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray this prayer out loud in bite-sized pieces. And I'm going to encourage you to pray it repeating after me out loud as well. The Bible says that it's with our heart that we believe, but it's with our mouth that we say it out loud. God, you're in charge of me. But don't worry, you're not praying alone, because I'm asking the entire Focus family to pray this prayer with us. Whether you're here in person, you're watching online, we're going to pray this prayer together. See, this is the most important thing we do here at Focus Church. We are focused on helping people find God's place in their life. And so, let's all pray this prayer together right now. Say, dear God, I'm sorry for the sin in my life. I need you. I believe you love me so much, you sent your son Jesus to pay the price for me. I want to live for you with you in charge. Give me hope. Give me freedom. Bring focus to my life. In Jesus' name, amen.